Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi, which is Nedarim Daf Lamed Zayin. We begin on Lamed Vav Amud Beis, the fifth line from the bottom of the Amud. So we have a Mudar Hana'a. Shimon may not benefit from Reuven in any way. Still, the Mishnah tells us that Reuven may teach him Torah, provided it is not a service, which is considered Hana'a. And the question is, how does that work? So as Ran explained to us in the Mishnah, teaching him Torah doesn't constitute Hana'a because we know mitzvahs lav lehanois nitnu. We don't classify them as actual Hana'a benefit. It's a spiritual experience which even a mudar Hana'a can have from his madir, from Reuven the madir. So the Mishnah tells us, Melamdei Midrash, Halochis Ve'agodis. He can teach him all forms of Torah Shebaal Peh. Midrash is referring to the Braisos, Mishnayos, Halochis, these are Halochis L'Moshe Mitzinai, Ve'agodis, these are the Midrashim that we have, Midrash Rab, etc. So Reuven may teach him these subjects, Avol Lo Yilamdeno Mikro, but not actual Chumash. That is considered Hana'a. He's granting him something of value, something of worth. And the question is, what's the difference if it's Mikra or Midrash? Asks the Gemara. Mikra, my time, lo yilamdenu. Why should Reuven refrain from teaching Shema in Chumash? Mishum deka mahanidle. Apparently, because he's giving him something. Shimon is having Hana'a from Reuven by learning that material. Well, if that's the case, Midrash nami. Likewise, when it comes to all other forms of Torah, Midrash as well. That's Hana'a. Omar Shemuel. The answer is like this. We are speaking b'mokim, in a community where they have the following practice. Shenotlin Sechar Ala Mikro. They accept payment for teaching Chumash. V'ein neutlin schar ala midrash, but they don't get pay for teaching other forms of Torah. Therefore, Reuven could go ahead and teach Shimon midrash, because he's not foregoing any pay. It's something which you don't get a salary for regardless. So it's just simply a spiritual experience, as opposed to when he teaches him mikra and he's foregoing his salary. That constitutes tangible, physical Hana'a. He's getting a free lesson. And therefore it's considered as though Reuven gave him Hana'a. Hana'a Gashmius, which of course is Asr. So that's the difference between Mikra, which is something which is marketable, so to speak, something which for which you get remunerated, and now by foregoing that salary, you're actually giving Shimon that pay. He's holding that onto that money which he would have to pay Reuven. So that's considered Hana'a. Whereas when it comes to Medrash, Halachas Agadis, something you don't get paid for teaching. Shimon hasn't received anything from Reuven, aside from the actual learning experience, which the Ran tells us is a mitzvah. Mitzvah is lav l'hanoitz nitnu. We don't classify it as a Hana'a in terms of the, you know, mudar Hana'a isur. Asks the Gemara, my Pascha, why is this so absolute? Why did the Tana assume that we get paid for Mikra and not for Medrash? Maybe the other way around. Maybe they get paid for Medrash and not for Mikra. Answers the Gemara, Kamashwan, actually, by the Tana presenting the Halacha in this manner, we will learn an interesting distinction. That for Mikra, one may, halachically, one may accept payment, as opposed to other topics, medrash, halachas, agadis, Torah Shebaal Peh, one may not accept a salary for teaching these topics. HaKamashmon, the Mishnah is teaching us, that afilu b'mokim, shenotlin sechar, even in a community where they have a consensus to accept payment for teaching Torah. The Ran points out that in some places they didn't take payment for anything. Because if you take for one thing, which is mutar, you might take for the other thing, which is asur. So in some places, they wouldn't accept pay at all. But even in places where they do accept pay, you should know. Ala mikra shari lemishkel. For teaching Torah, you can get paid. It's mutar. Ala medrash lo shari lemishkel. As opposed to teaching medrash, which needs to be done for free. So again, that explains the halacha and the Mishnah. Imudon Hano may accept a medrash lesson from his mother because there's no actual monetary value to that experience. You're not meant to take pay for that, as opposed to mikra, for which he's allowed to accept payment. When you go ahead and you experience that lesson from your mother, you are taking something which is worth money. Asks the Gemara, Maishno Medrash Deloy, why is it that you can't take payment for teaching Medrash? Tachsiv, the Pasuk says, Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking to Klal Yisrael. Va'isi tziva Hashem bo'yisahi. Hashem instructed me at that time, Ulamid Eschem, to teach you Torah. And then it says the Pasuk again, Va'isi re'i lamadati Eschem, look, I have taught you the chukim, mishpatim, kasher tzivani, Hashem alakoy, just as Hashem has instructed me. Now, why this repetition? In the first pasuk, it says that Moshe Rabbeinu references the fact that Hashem told me to teach you Torah. So why do we need the same thing again? Look, Hashem, I've taught you the chukim, mishpatim, just as Hashem has instructed me to do. To do what? To teach you? He already told us before Hashem instructed him to teach Klal Yisrael Torah. And the Ran points out, it cannot be that all he's saying is, you know, Hashem taught me all these things. Everything that I've taught you comes from Hashem. It's pretty obvious. Because Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, wasn't making things up. The Pasuk says, V'gam b'cha ya'aminu lo'ilam. There's going to be perfect faith in the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu represents Hashem. He's not making it up. It's all from Hashem. So what then is Moshe telling them? Hashem told me to take money for teaching Torah? It's also unlikely. Rather, Moshe Rabbeinu is conveying a message to Klal Yisrael. When you teach Torah, it's one continuous link, one continuous uninterrupted experience. Hashem taught me free of charge. I taught you free of charge. Now you go ahead and teach your Talmidim free of charge. Ma ani bechinam. Just as I have taught you free of charge, av atem nami bechinam. Likewise, when you go ahead and you teach Torah to your Talmidim, to your children, don't get paid. Re'il madti eschem. Chukim mishpatim kashit sivani Hashem alaykoy. Look, I taught you the chukim for free. And likewise, pay attention to that. I taught you bechinam. When you convey, when you transmit that Torah onward, do it bechinam. So teaching Torah is not meant to entail salary taking. And that's why when you teach Medrash and Halachas Vagodes, it needs to be free of charge. Asks the Gemara, well, if that's the case, then what's the difference between Medrash and Mikra? Mikra nami bechinam. Then teaching Mikra, what else has to be free of charge? So why are we learning that Mikra is something you can get paid for? And therefore, a mudur hano may not learn Mikra from the mother, because if he doesn't take pay, he's actually saving him that money. Mikra nami bechinam. Moshe Rabbeinu did not differentiate between this type of subject and that type of subject. It's all meant to be bechinam. Answers the Gemara. When the Mishnah indicates that one may take pay for teaching Mikra, it's for the following reason. It's actually not for the learning itself. Rav Amar Schar Shimur. We're speaking about teaching Mikra to young children. And young children need to be watched, to be babysat. The Rush says, you take Schar Shimur, Neutlin al Na'arim Ketanim Haloim de Mikra. Typically, it's small children learning Chumash, right? The Tosfos says, you know, until 10 years old, they're learning Chumash. Once they hit 10, it's been Eser Shanam LeMishnah. So Mikra isn't necessarily the Mikra itself. It's the point that the children typically learning Mikra need to be looked after. And the Rosh says, L'shamram, to keep watch, to keep an eye on them. Shelo yelchu b'rochevus ha'shvaka. They don't wander around the streets. V'yaziku, and perhaps inflict harm and damage. V'yichanchu l'dvarim roim, and have negative exposure. So, the point of taking schar for teaching mikra isn't for teaching mikra itself, it's rather for the fact that you're watching the kids, keeping them safe and secure physically and spiritually. And for that, you can take money. That's Rav's approach. For Rabbi Yechon Amar, no. The actual teaching of mikra allows you to get paid. You know why? Not for the actual text, but rather schar pisuk ta'amim. You can get paid for teaching them the tunes, the trap, what we call the tunes in the Chumash. And according to Rabbi Yechanan, the ta'amim, the tune, was not really part of the Chumash min ha-Torah. It was added by the Chachamim, and therefore, for that, you can get paid. So back to the Mishnah. A mother may teach his mudar mikra, Chumash, but not medrash, because if he doesn't get paid for the medrash, just the opposite. He can teach a medrash, but not chumash. He can teach a medrash, because that's meant to be free of charge regardless. So by refusing payment, you're not really doing him much of a favor. He can't pay you in any case. Ma'ani b'chinam ha'v'ata b'chinam. As opposed to when it comes to mikra, if he were to teach a mikra for free, he's giving him something. He's saving him the schar which he would have to pay. Why would he have to pay it? Either because it's schar shimur or schar pisuk tamim. So now let's go back to the Mishnah. Lo yom den mikra. A mother should not teach his mudar chumash. Why not? Bish lemi lamanda amar schar pisuk tamim. So this is good according to Rabbi Yechanan. A person can get paid for the tamim aspect of the mikra. That explains the Mishnah. Hainu, deleilam denu. That explains why you can't teach him free of charge. Because you're foregoing your salary, which you deserve. Ela lamanda amar schar shimur. But according to Rav, the entire justification for accepting payment for mikra is because of the babysitting aspect. Well, here we assume we're speaking about a gadol. Gadol bar shimuru. The mudar is the shimon is a gadol. He needs to be washed and babysat. Answers the word bekatan katani. You're right. We're speaking about a small kid. He is the mudar. So Reuven made a neder against giving hanot to Shimon, this child. You can't teach him mikra because you're entitled to get schar shimur, which you're foregoing. In which case, you're giving him something hanot, which is usher to him. And the Ran points out that although perhaps we don't have to stop a child from taking something non-kosher, but that's when he takes it himself. But you can't actually feed him something which is usher to him. Like in this case, teach him the mikra and watch him free of charge. Asks the Gemara, Ibe Katan, if the Mishnah is referring to a Katan, Amos Sefer, what about the next halach in the Mishnah? Avo Malavad as bon of mikra. You can teach the mudar's children chumash. Because, as we explained in the Mishnah, you're not actually giving the mudar anything, although you're alleviating him of his obligations. Something which he would have to do. That's just a roundabout benefit. It's not considered a direct benefit to the mudar. But the question is, if the mudar is a minor, katan bar bonimu, can he have children? Answers the Gemara, you're right. Chesur mechshra, vachitani. Let's learn the Mishnah as though it's missing some words, and you read it as follows. Lo ilamdenu mikro b'katan. He should not teach chumash to the katan, because he's entitled to schar shimur for looking after the katan, and that's considered hana if he foregoes that payment. Now, im haya gadol, but if this mudar was actually a gadol, who does need to be looked after? He doesn't need to be shomer. Malamdoi loy, so the madr can actually teach him the chumash. Ulabonov, and actually to his son as well. Mikra, as long as it's chumash. He can teach him and his sons chumash. Why? He can teach him chumash, because chumash is bechina. And he's a gadol. There's no shimur aspect here. And regarding the children, well, the children aren't really mudar hana from Reuven. And the fact that Reuven is teaching them and watching over them, that's just a residual grama hana to the mudar, to Shimon. That's not considered a direct granting of a benefit, and that's mutar. So bottom line is, in a general sense, just as Moshe Rabbeinu taught Klal Yisrael Torah b'chinam, likewise, Torah is meant to be transmitted throughout the generations b'chinam, unless there's a special reason otherwise. Like when it comes to Mikra, according to Rav, you're babysitting as well. For the babysitting aspect, you're mutar to take payment. Rabbi Yochanan learns that the allowance is because of the ta'amim, the tunes involved, which aren't really part of the actual text. Now, the Ran brings a Yerushalmi. There's another reality which allows payment. That's called Schar Batala. A fellow is foregoing other work, other income to teach this Torah, you can pay him for that loss. You can compensate him for lost income. And certainly if a fellow dedicates his entire being to teaching and disseminating Torah, he's entitled to a proper salary. Because he's not taking for the actual teaching of Torah. Rather, he's taking in lieu of ordinary employment, which he would have to be involved in, if not for the fact that he's doing Torah. We have the same concept in the end of Ksubas regarding a dayan. He can accept payment if he's actually experiencing loss of income due to the din Torah. It's not called bribery. It's not sheichad. It's schar batala. It's mutar. So you have two reasons for the heter of accepting payment for teaching chumash. We have Rav, schar shimur. We have Rabbi Yochanan, schar pisuk tamim. Meis ve'ikam's akash. The Brisa says, Tinoikos, small children, loikoder mitchila b'Shabbos. On Shabbos, when they learn, they shouldn't be learning the material for the first time. Ela shonim berishon, but they can review the material even if it's their first time reviewing it. Like the Gemara figures at this point, what is the issue? The issue is sechar Shabbos, that a person may not accept payment for working on Shabbos. It looks like he's involved in business transactions, like Mekach and Memker, and it's also Midrabbon. So the Raisa says, don't teach them the material for the first time, but you can review the material even if it's the first time reviewing. Now, Bishlam Ilamanda Omar Schar Pisuk Tamim, this can work very well, contra Biechna, that he's accepting payment for teaching them the tunes of the Pisukim. That explains the price. Hainu dein koyer mitchil b'Shabbos. If it's their first time learning the text with the tunes, that's an issue. Well, that's real effort. That's a real job, and for that he can accept remuneration. He's entitled to a salary. And salary on Shabbos is also. So first time teaching is also, but the second time just reviewing it with them, that doesn't involve much exertion. For that, he wouldn't accept payment regardless. They're already, you know, familiar with the tunes. So that's mutar on Shabbos, because he's not expecting pay for that. So, kot Rabbi Yochanan, payment is for the tamim. The Braisa is very well understood. Elul amad amar schar shimur. However, according to Rav, payment is for watching over the kids' safety. What's the difference between whether it's their first time learning the material or the second time? Familiar, not familiar. Amai incur mitchil b'Shabbos. Why can't they learn it for the first time on Shabbos? V'amai shonim berishon. Why would they review it? Reviewing is okay, but not learning? Ha'ikas char shimur the Shabbos. This teacher is now expecting payment for babysitting these kids. irrespective of the material that they're learning, whether they're familiar or new material. Either way, it's a problem on Shabbos. Ask the Gemara, one second. According to your way of thinking, it's an issue of Schar Shabbos? It's not an issue at all. Because there's something called Havla'a. As long as it's not visibly Schar for Shabbos employment, if it's sort of included in the weekly salary, that's mutter. Schar Pisuk or Schar Shimur Shabbos. Mi Asur? Why would it be Asur? If it's swallowed up, if it's included in your monthly or weekly salary, Havla'ahi. It's included. Vavla Mishir Shari. That's totally mutter. The sign is refined in another halach. Hasirchas Apoel. Lishmar Satinek. So he hires a guard to watch over this child. The Ram learns we're speaking about those young children who were set aside and raised in order to take care of the Paraduma process. So they had to be guarded and watched from Tuma. Lishmar Saparo, you have somebody guarding over the Paraduma. Lishmar Sazroim, it's Shemitah time. They need to watch over these, the grain here, which is going to be used for the Oymer, Nishtei Alechem. You have guards standing there. So all these fellows who are doing Shabbos employment, Ein Noisn Lishar Shabbos. You can't pay them for Shabbos outright. Lefichach. Im Avdu Ein Echai Bachroyusim. Because they're not getting paid, so if the item they're watching gets damaged, gets lost, they're not responsible. See, unlike a Shomer Sachar who's getting a salary for his watching, that obligates him. It requires him to commit himself to a higher form of guarantee, a higher form of vigilance. But when it comes to a fellow who's doing a volunteer job, he's a Shomer Chinam, not getting paid for his job. He doesn't have to look after the item to the extent of a Shomer Sach, and therefore, if it goes missing, he's put. Alright, so again, if it's a Shabbos job, which he can't get paid for, a Shomer Chinam. But, in some instances, you can pay him. If it's not obvious and evident that he's getting paid for Shabbos work, Sachar Shabbos, let's say he was working throughout the week, it's a weekly salary, Sachar Chodesh, he's a monthly employee, Sachar Shana, an annual employee, Sachar Shavua, he's working for, the whole 7-year set. So in this case, you could just throw it in, Noisn Lishar Shabbos, you can add the Shabbos pay as well, and put it into the, general, broader salary. And therefore, since he's getting paid for Shabbos, he's a Shomer Sachar and has higher standards of responsibility. And if they go missing, he has to pay back. He has to compensate. He's responsible. The bottom line is, you don't get paid for Shabbos outright, but Bahavla, it's mutter. So why would the Braisa not allow a person to teach kids on Shabbos if, in fact, the payment is simply being given Bahavla together with the rest of the week's pay? Oh, answers the Gemara, you're right. Apparently we're not speaking about a concern of Schar Shabbos. Rather, the reason why the Braisa insists on just learning old material rather than introducing new material to these children is as follows. You don't want to overburden them on Shabbos. Elagabi Shabbos hanitayim de'inkar metchila. The reason why we don't teach them new material on Shabbos is as follows. It's unrelated to Schar and Schar Shabbos. Rather, Mishum de Yifnu, Ahavasa and de Inuki. It is to enable the fathers of these boys to be free, to be engaged with the mitzvahs of Shabbos. The mitzvasa de Shabbat. Says the Ran, 5 lines from the top. De Yifnu avoin de Inuki, the mitzvasa de Shabbat. She'avos ha'tinoikis poinin le'mitzvahis or le'mitzvahs Shabbos u'mishtashin im ha'tinoikis. Typically, Shabbos is the time to spend time with your kids, with your family. And if they'll be overly engaged and overly immersed in learning new material, v'im yikra ha'tinoikis l'chatchilo yoychushu le'betulam, the parents will shy away, will hesitate to disrupt them, distract them, and they won't be mekayim the mitzvahs of Shabbos, including spending quality time with your kids. So that's why the Braisa says, don't teach them overwhelming material, don't get them too involved in learning, a quick review and that's it. Says the Gemara, but you say another reason why we don't want to overload these kids on Shabbos. Mishum de b'Shabbata achlan v'shasin, typically on Shabbos you eat and drink in a manner which is different than the week. V'yakir alein alma, and things get, you know, heavy on them. They get a bit cloudy, or you know, from these 2 days of Shabbos, and that makes it difficult for them to focus and concentrate on new material. Kedama Shmuel, Shmuel tells us, shinui vest, any change of schedule, any change of routine, tchilas choylim me'ayim, has its, you know, initial effect on the internal system of a person. So bottom line is, the Brice is not speaking about an issue of schar, of payment. It's just a good set of recommendations for the benefit of the kids, you know, chinuch and upbringing. Continues the Gemara. So back to the initial concept of not accepting payment for teaching, except for mikra, for one or two reasons. Rav learns schar shimur, and Shmuel says schar pisuk tamim. Now, why did one not hold of the other? The other is reason. Ulaman da'amar schar pisuk tamim. Rabbi Eichmann, who explained the reason is the tamim. My time alamar schar shimur. Why didn't he agree with Rav that the babysitting aspect is sufficient reason to accept payment? Because Rav Yechanan figures, banos ki mi kabayin shimur. You know, boys have to be looked after to make sure they don't go out and make trouble. But girls, they're more timid. Chances are they're sitting obediently. They're not running around. You don't need to actually exert much effort safeguarding their well-being if they're in a classroom setting. So, I understand why, you know, you can't teach the katan, the boy, chumash, because you're foregoing pay what you're entitled to, but why would the Mishnah not allow us to do it for the girls? Right? And the Mishnah seems to, include boys and girls in the same boat. We're not differentiating. So a boy, I understand, you can't teach him because you're saving him that expense. But the bonos, they're not paying you for babysitting in any case. So it's not considered an hanoah of mommy. So that's why Rav Yechanan didn't go along with Rav's approach to the Mishnah. Ulemadar maschar shimur. Now Rav, who learned the basis for payment here is the shimur aspect. My time ala amar schar pisuk tamim. Why didn't he learn like Rabbi Yechanan? The entitlement is because of the tamim that you're teaching the kid. Kasavar, because Rav holds, you're not allowed to take payment even for a tamim. Kasavar pisuk tamim da raisahu. Rav holds, even the tune associated with the psukim in the Torah comes straight from the Torah. It's not invented by the Rabbanan, and therefore, it's part and parcel of the Torah material for which you cannot accept payment. Omar Rav Chanan, Omar Rav, right? Quotes Rav. Then in fact, Ta'amim Amanat Torah. And apparently Rabbi Yechon holds it to Rabbanim. So Rav tells us like this, Ma'idichsev, how do we learn the Pasuk in Nechemiah, which reads as follows, Vayikru Basefer B'Torah Selekim Mefoirosh V'soim Sechel Vayavinu B'Mikro. So we're covering all aspects of Torah. What are these various elements of Torah? Vayikru b'sefer Torah Elokim. What is that? It's a mikra. It's a standard text of the Chumash. What does mefoirosh mean? The enhancement? Is that targum? That's the targum that we have. What is v'soim sechel? Ilu ha'psukim. To know where to cut the psukim. Vayavinu b'mikra. What is that? It's a pisuk tamim. These are the tunes. So apparently this is part of the actual Torah, rather than something invented by the Chacham. That's Rav's Shita. V'amrilo, some learn differently, and that's Rabbi Yechanan. Elo ha-Masiris. V'yavinu b'mikro is not a reference to Tamim, that's Midrabbanan. Rather, it's a reference to the traditional, you know, deviations that we find in the Chumash, whether it's the Kri and the Ksiv, or the Psukim, the words that are, actually, the Rush says it's chaseris and yaseris. Yeah. It's, you know, to know which words are meant to have the vav, which are meant to have no vav, etc. So bottom line is, according to Rav, Schar Pisuk Tamim is not allowed because Tamim is the Daraisa, whereas Rabbi Yechon holds it to Rabbanon, for which a person is entitled to take pay. So back to the Mishnah. Teaching a Mudr Hano Torah Shebal Peh would be Mutter because there's no pay for that. Torah Shebechsav would be Aser for one of two reasons, according to Rav, not because of the Torah. It's because you're watching over this kid who's learning the Chumash. Typically, it's the child learning Chumash. So it's only pertaining to a child. The heter is only because you're looking after that boy. And therefore, giving him that free lesson without accepting payment is considered hanoa, which is us. Whereas a kodesh Rabbi Yechonon, the reason is because of the tamim that you're teaching him for which you can accept payment, and foregoing pay is considered hanoa. Okay, on the topic of the Masoreis, Omar Yitzchak Mikro Seferim, the way to read the Psukim, the Nekudos and all that, which were taught us by the Chachamim, and the Itur Seferim, the poetic, so to speak, enhancements to the Psukim, we're going to see soon in a minute, different examples of the Itur Seferim, Vikarion Veloika Sivan, and all those instances where the actual word is not written, but we read it as though it's written there. Uksivim lekarin, the other way around, we have sometimes words that are written but are sort of not read, ignored. All these various elements in the Torah are halacha l'Moshe min Sinai, brought down from Moshe from Sinai. Explains the Gemara. Mikro Seferim, what is that? Eretz, Shemayim, and Mitzrayim. The Ran learns, the word Eretz can be pronounced Eretz or Aretz with a kametz, depending on where in a pasuk it is situated. At the end of a statement, it's Aretz. In the middle, it's Eretz. So these pronunciations were taught to us by the Seferim. Another word, another way to describe the Chacham. They are called Seferim because they were experts in word count. They knew all the words and letters of the Torah. So they taught us these formulas. Shemayim, Mitzrayim. If you read it as spelled, it can be Shamim, Mitzrim. The Chacham taught us that the proper pronunciation is Shamayim, Mitzrayim, as though there's an extra letter, you know, an aleph in there. So these are examples of Mikro Seferim, proper pronunciations taught to us by the Seferim, by the Chachamim, sourced from Moshe Misinai. The next category is Itur Seferim, words that are sort of inserted for their poetic, you know, flair. Achar Tavaru. First example is by Avraham Avinu with the Malachim. Have your meal. And I could have just said, Sada Libchem V'tavayru, then move on. Continue on your way. The Torah put the word Achar in there, give it an extra Tiferes Haloshim, says the Ran. That, you know, a little poetic flair. Achar Telech, Achar Tiyosif. We have the Pasuk. Kidmu Sharem Achar Gnoignim. Instead of just Kidmu Sharem Noignim, it says Achar Noignim. That's an extra word there. Or Tzidkascha Kihare Kale, the letter Chaf is extra. Just as it says Mishvatecha Tehaim Rabbe, could have said Tzidkascha Hare Kale, the extra letter Chaf is just Tiferes Haloshen. Now we have a list of Karyon V'Leksivan, words throughout Tanakh which are read even though they're not actually recorded in the text itself. Pros de Belechtai, the word pros, and a pasuk, and Shmuel, which has the word Belechtai. The word ish, de kasher yishal ish bar lekim, this is another pasuk in Shmuel, with the words kasher yishal bar lekim, and the word ish is read, even though you don't see it in the actual text. The word boim, in a pasuk of de nivnasa, the word la, in the pasuk of lefleta, the word es, in the pasuk of Hugad, the word Eli, this is in Rus, in the pasuk de Hagorin, the word Eli de Hasorim, all these are Halein, all these are Karyon of Leksivan, read but not recorded. Then we have the other way, Yekasvan Velekarion, words that are actually in the text but sort of ignored, not read. Of course, these things are the secrets of Torah, Sisri Torah. You have the word na in a pasuk de Yislach, which is in Melachim Beis. You have Zois in the word Hamitz, in the Pasuk of the Hamitz, where you have Yidroich in the Pasuk that has the Hadoireich. You have Chamesh, the word Chamesh, the Pasuk, in the Pasuk that has the Pas Negev. You have the Pasuk, the word Im. This is actually in Rus once again, in a Pasuk which has the Chigoyel. So all these Halein, all these that we mentioned, Kasvan v'Lekarion, are recorded but not read. It's interesting that the Vilna Gaon on the side brings another couple examples. The Ran actually mentioned that there are more that are not brought here, and the Hagoyis Agro has mentioned three more examples of Im, of the word Im, throughout Tanakh, which are written but not read. And the Maharal writes, the reason why the Gemara did not include them in the list is because these are deep concepts, it's Sisrei Torah, right? And every one of these examples here represent another facet of the secrets of Torah. And once we already have an example of a missing Im, which is based on a certain, deep principle, we don't need to list the other additional Ims that follow, in the same path, that are based on the same underlying principle for the missing Im. Interesting. Amar of Achbar Ad, B'marov in Eretz Yisrael, Paskin, Ladein Psukin, Litlos HaPsukin. They took the following pasuk and split it into three because there are three different elements unrelated to each other included in the same pasuk. So they had a tradition to split it into three. Which pasuk? This is before Matan Torah. Vayomer Hashem, Moshe, Hinei Anochi Bo Elecha Ba'avanan. I'm coming to you in a cloud. And the pasuk continues there. Ba'avur Yishma Om B'dabri Imach. That's a second aspect that Kol Yisrael will listen to. And we have a third aspect, which is Vayagid Moshe, Divrei Amal Hashem, which is totally unrelated to the previous two aspects. So they took the pasuk and sort of split it into three separate pasuk. Okay, what do we learn today? A mother may not benefit his mudar. What about teaching him Torah, free of charge? Medrash, halachos, agadas, that's okay, because he's not meant to accept payment for these services regardless. And the actual Torah, well, it's a mitzvah. Mitzvah is lav lahonos nitnu, it's a spiritual experience which is not addressed by the Isser Neder. Not included in Isser Neder. What about Mikra? The Mishnah allows it. Why? Says Rav, typically we're speaking about a young child who needs to be looked after to ensure his physical and spiritual safety. Schar Shimur you can take. It's unrelated to the Torah at hand. And foregoing that salary constitutes giving him something. That's Osir, very Mudar Hanoah. Rabbi Yechna says, it's the tamim, the tunes that he's teaching him. For that he can accept payment, because as Rabbi Yechna tells us in Amud Beis, that's midrabbanan. That's not part and parcel of the actual Torah. And for that payment is allowed to be taken. Whereas Rav considers that part of the actual deraisa, for which payment is asur. We learned about Tzchar Shabbos, which cannot be taken in a pronounced way, but it could be done by havla, included in the broader salary, the weekly, monthly salary. And we concluded with a list of elements that we find in the Torah, which were taught to us, halacha meshmir Sinai, pronunciation, and the poetic flair of the various expressions, the kri, v'loiksiv, and iksiv, v'loikri. May Hashem give us much hatzlach and Torah and everything else. Hatzlach rabbah.